Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com and host of Real Ag Radio. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Trust. So hard to develop, yet easy to break. So much business and agriculture is based on the trust of a handshake and the unwritten codes of the industry. Trust is the foundation of many business relationships. Without trust, it's difficult to have constructive conflict, agree on objectives, or have accountability within your own business or externally with suppliers or customers. Renowned leadership author Stephen Covey writes, "Trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships." So true. Today's guest on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is Dr. Scott Downey from Purdue University. Scott Downey is an assistant professor in the Department of Agricultural Economics, where he teaches courses in sales and marketing. He is the coordinator of the Sales and Marketing Degree Program. He is the lead author of Pro Selling, a professional approach to selling in agriculture and other industries. Welcome, Scott Downey. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah, great to have you here. So, Scott, you know, this word trust, you know, everybody throws it around, but we don't really actually think about it, I think, as in depth as we probably should in terms of business relationships. Do you feel that it's kind of this word that is so critical inside your business and externally of your farm business, but people just don't necessarily, they just sort of take it for granted sometimes?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And there's other really important terms like strategy that are that kind of the same way. Everybody throws it around. It probably has a pretty big impact on our businesses, but often we're, because it's a little ambiguous or nebulous, we don't think a lot about what that means for us. And I think trust is certainly one of those terms that we take for granted, and we just don't spend as much time thinking about it intentionally as we might.
Okay, so if we are going to think intentionally about it, what are the ways that we need to pursue it and make sure that we're doing everything we can with, you know, the behavior of trust? Because, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, "Hey, it's okay, I trust them," or "I'm not sure about this. I'm not really sure if we should be trusting. There's some fishy stuff going on here." So if we're going to be intentional about it, what do we do?
Well, so like any important term that we use in business, we have to think about how do we measure it and where do we see the impacts of it. And when you think about a farm business and where trust impacts them, there's both the trust that we give and the trust that we get. The trust that we get from others has things to do with the labor that we work with. You know, how do employees view us? If we've got, you know, a hired hand, how do they think of us? Or on a large farm, even beyond that. Also, for our farm business, my background before I became a professor was in banking, and it's certainly the case that we want bankers to trust us as we rely on that financing for our businesses. When we think about the ways that we trust others, though, we start thinking about how do I know whether I can trust someone or not? And we've usually thought of that as kind of a gut feel. You know, I know in my gut that they're a good guy or that I can trust them. But today, we've had a fair number of researchers look at trust as something that can be measured, maybe not in terms of dollars, although we have done that, but more in terms of what are the components that we can look at that are really our gut is kind of measuring on its own. And we find that there's four factors. One is how credible is someone? So how believable are they? Another is how reliable are they? Do they follow through? Another one is what we call intimacy. So can I trust them to keep my information private? And then the largest factor is how interested is this other person in themselves compared to being interested in me? So are they in it to just to sell something and focused on what they get out of it, or are they truly focused on what my needs are? I really like being able to break that into those four pieces because it really lets me know a little bit more about what, if I trust somebody, great, but almost always when we think of that, we think of having some hesitancy, and it lets me really identify what is the area of hesitancy here in this relationship.
Yeah, I really like those four factors, and you said something there where it's, I was thought of when I'm watching, like there's a show on CNBC where they talk about people that have been misled with money. Or you think about, the Ponzi scheme of Bernie Madoff, one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in the history of the financial market in New York. And what does everybody always say about people like that? Man, I thought I could trust them. It's so common. So when you break it down in those four ways like that, it really, really does create some tangibility to it. And so do you suggest putting, say, a rating scale of 1 out of 5 beside all of those and really kind of breaking it down that way quantitatively?
Yeah, well, so that is the way researchers do that in many cases and have people actually assign some numbers to that. And frankly, if we're really struggling with a decision, I think that that can be a really useful activity to think about, even if I don't write down numbers. If I just sit and I think about, on a scale of 1 to 5, how credible is this person? Can I really believe what they say? Do I have any evidence that they follow through? And when you start thinking about trust as, okay, what is my evidence for this? That past experience that we've had with them is a really important indicator of those trust levels. And that's one of the reasons that those experiences that we've had with somebody, what we might call a relationship, is important. Because ultimately, trust is about, can I predict somebody else's behavior?
We'll get back to more of my discussion with Scott Downey, but first, a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business Podcast is brought to you by RBC. Today's producers are thinking hard about where they want to go and what moves to make to get them there. A business plan is your roadmap to success. Without one, it's easy to get lost along the way. You can count on the services and expertise RBC offers to help you meet your business goals and chart a course to success. Visit rbc.com/chartyourcourse to find an agriculture account manager near you. How do you screen for your own biases? Because you hear lots of times where you'll say people, oh, I'm just way too trusting. Or, the other side of it is, I don't trust anybody. And so we all have our own biases. So how do we screen for that?
So part of that is breaking down. First off, I might challenge, are those biases are there to protect us? That's how the human brain protects us. Those biases represent the culmination of an awful lot of experiences. But when we can break things down into its components, it allows us to be a bit more rational in our thinking. Ultimately, trust is not necessarily just a rational perception. Our biases are going to impact trust. But if we can break that down into components and think about those individually, we're already taking steps to try to remove some of our biases. When we talk with farmers about relationships with salespeople, and a lot of my work is with salespeople, teaching them how to serve farmers more effectively, one of the things that we talk about is really trying to break down those biases, if you want to say that, or our past experiences to what's most relevant out of it. And the cool thing about thinking about trust along those four components of credibility, reliability, intimacy, and self-interest is it allows us to have conversations with those important relationships to where we can kind of talk about, you know, if we want to think about how interested that salesperson is. Look, we all know when we buy a product that that salesperson probably gets something out of it, or at least their company does. We can talk about that. We don't have to hide that and make that be kind of not part of this. Let's have a really frank discussion about what do you get out of it and what do I get out of it. And if we really want to think about trust and remove bias from it, we can start before we begin a transaction and say, how are we going to measure whether this was a good decision when we get to the end? And a lot of us tend to look at, in crop agriculture, for example, we tend to look at yields as kind of the only metric. Well, there's other things, you know, all those things that we look at when we make a seed decision, for example, standability, all those are important to us when we make that seed decision. But if we write down at the beginning of that decision, here's the things we're going to look at, or we talk with somebody that we're buying a product from and say, here's the things we ought to be looking at. And then we look at those again at the end of that cycle, and we keep track of that information over time. We can remove a lot of the barrier around that. So now we've moved a little bit even beyond trust to how that impacts the buying process, which I think is really one of the key areas where trust comes out for a lot of farm businesses.
Okay, in that relationship, the example you're using, I think one of the challenges for suppliers in dealing and trying to sell to the farm public is a lack of longevity in the relationship. Companies are flipping salespeople more frequently than ever, it seems. There's who's the new person working at the retail this year? That really puts strain on the ability to develop that trust when the relationship is such a short term and is so short term in nature. Is that right?
It absolutely does. It's one of the big challenges, and those suppliers, of course, would rather keep those same people. But we get people that retire, and we get it's hard to find good trained people, and frankly, a lot of times, new salespeople have very high self-interest. They're more interested often in hitting the sales number than they are in truly helping somebody, just because they're early in their career and they don't understand yet how those things relate. And that's where I think mitigating that trust by having some formal discussions about how we're going to measure these outcomes helps us limit that trust risk to one buying cycle. And now that's ideal. Obviously, we could have a good year, a bad product, but a good year, and not be able to judge everything. But I think if we're explicit about how we think about the aspects of the purchase decisions that we make, and we think about what information we need, what follow-through we want, what privacy is required, and what both parties get out of it, I think that gives us a little structure to try to manage through that risk. Turnover is going to happen among supplier relationships, and it's hard. But what that requires is that we have to be a little bit more formal, and that takes time, and it seems formal, and we'd really rather just be able to trust. But today, it's harder to do that.
Have you done yourself, or have you seen any research in levels of trust that is prevalent in one industry versus others? So I think there's a lot of agreements or contracts or however you want to describe that, where it's sort of the Jerry Maguire, my word is solider than oak sort of thing. Everything, a lot of stuff is based on a handshake. And
yeah.
That can serve you very, very well. That can also backfire immensely if you've misjudged your four criteria, your four factors that you gave earlier. Is agriculture more trusting than others?
So I'm not sure if we're more trusting. And I've not seen industry metrics in that way. But I'm always one who says that one of the great things about being in agriculture is that relationships still matter. And there's a lot of industries where that's not the case. And when relationships don't matter or when trust is low, we wind up spending a lot of money on attorneys. And I think we are an industry where we still operate in small communities where people know one another. And so that those that trust or relationship still does carry weight here. Don't forget also from Jerry Maguire was the line, show me the money. And so we got to think about, you know, how what kinds of metrics we put around things. And part of the reason we're talking about trust today and doing research on it is that even in agriculture, the world is changing. Those relationships aren't as predictable or aren't as steady. And so we really do wind up having to give more thought to, so what do we do about that? It would be great to say, well, we just need people to stand up and live up to the promises that they make. It's an unfortunate aspect that as the world moves to online interactions and more anonymity and less personal knowledge, that it gets harder to live that way.
And hey, similar to respect, takes a long time to earn and seconds to lose. And I think that is just when I think of respect or I think of trust, that is so true.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, they're very similar.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, I really appreciate this.
Hey, Sean, my pleasure.
No matter what you do in agriculture, it's pretty impossible to have long-term success and ignore the value of trust. Dr. Downey had some great qualitative and quantitative ways to put a value on trust in your business relationships. Give it a try. Engage some of his advice, and you may be surprised in some of your ratings, which may be the catalyst to changing some things in your business and your relationships. You can find more episodes of Mind Your Farm Business by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to RBC Rural Bank, and until next time, keep on minding your farm business.